So we have our usual weekly Pshischa on the Parsha. No virus and no plague, Mirtzah Hashem, will ever, you know, prevent us from giving Shir and learning Torah. So here we are, Pshischa on the Parsha for Parshios Tazria Mitzorah. Although our Divrei Torah tonight will come exclusively from Parshas Mitzorah, and mostly about the process of becoming tahor, because it's always good to focus on the problems, but the question is how do you fix it. So if we look in Psukim, the parak, the beginning of Parak Yud Dalet, which is right at the beginning of Parshas Mitzorah. So the pasuk tells us, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'mor zos tia taras ha'metzorav yom tarasot levav ha'kohen." A lot of interesting drashas based on these psukim. This should be the Torah of the Mitzorah. Some Chasid Shvarlach say that the Mitzorah has to learn Torah. Right? He sinned with his speech. Now he has to make up for it with his speech by learning, by teaching, by doing something with his mouth, which is pure. So then the pasuk says, V'yatza Kohen el michutz ha'machane. And the Kohen has to go outside of the camp. V'ra'a ha'kohen v'nei nirpah negat taras v'nat tzaruah. He has to see if the tzaras has been healed. We talked on Tuesday about what does that mean, negat tzaras min hatzaruah. The tzaras is gone from he who has tzaras. So which one is it? Is it nirpa tzaras or is it tzaruah? It can't be both. You can't have tzaras and be cleaned of tzaras at the same time. So it's interesting. The Chasam Sofer is a very interesting shtuk. You can listen to the women's parsha shir online to understand that. Did I post it? I think I posted it. I'll check if I posted it. But either way, what are the elements of the process to become tahor? So the pasuk then tells us in pasuk dalid yud dalid dalid 14:4 v'tziva hakohen v'lakach lami taher shtei tziparim chayos taros. Interesting. Now the pasuk says it's not a tzaruah but a mitaher. He takes the kohen a command or instructs, and he takes for the purifying one, the one who is to be purified, I guess. Shtei tziparim chayos taros, two live pure birds, ve'etz erez, cedar wood, ushni tolas ve'ezov, and he has to take crimson wool and hyssop. So what exactly are we talking about? So Rashi tells us, interestingly, and this is one of those drushas that I've always sort of wondered about in terms of drusha methodology from a midrash. What you have here is Eitz Erez, which is a very large tree, very large, very tall tree. So Rashi says, Eitz Erez lefish ha'negayim ba'an al-gasus ha'ruach, because you get tzaras for being very haughty, right? We talked about the Gemara in Erech a couple times this week. The cedar, he has in the Tanchuma, talks about how the cedar is such a tall tree. It's a reminder to the sinner, to the person who had tzaras, that he shouldn't go back to those ways. So you have the eight tzaras, which is very tall, to remind him that he was too haughty. And then you have the shni tolas ve'ezov. What are those? Crimson tongue of wool and hyssop. Rashi tells us, ma tekanas ve'yisrape. What is that which is going to help him fix his situation and heal him? Yashpil atzmo migavaso. He has to lower himself from his haughtiness, kitolas, like a worm, ucheizov, like a hyssop. Now, what exactly does that mean? Is kind of interesting. Rashi says, presumably, that these two things are lower down to the ground, especially relative to a cedar tree. A cedar tree, which is so tall and beautiful, is representative of his gaiva, of his haughtiness, of how highly he thinks of himself. And the hyssop and the worm are representative of what he has to be now. He has to be a lower person. He has to lower himself. It's very interesting that the drushas could easily be interchangeable. You have something which is big and something which is small. So Rashi says, well, the bigness is what he was before and the small thing is what he is now. You could easily just assume it goes the other way around, but the Medrash obviously says it in this way for a specific purpose. I've always thought, and this is something that I actually saw, I think for a couple years I looked for someone who made this drasha, and I should really look again, because I found it on an English Devar Torah website. Torah.org has this drasha, but I always thought that the purpose of this contrast between the tall cedar and the low bush is really in terms of teaching a person who is haughty because he is lowly. meaning that oftentimes a person's own superiority complex is not a result of how they think so highly of themselves, but how they think so lowly of themselves. And they compensate by putting other people down for the sake of making themselves look bigger because they know inside that they're really small. And I think that there's something there to be said for these two ingredients, the Eitz Eretz, which is the high tree, the person who presents themselves as so high, but at the same time, he's really inside, he's a Shnitzel Las Vezo, he's really a small person. But either way, that's for a different time. The Sfas Emes tells us that what is interesting about this whole drasha from Rashi is that, at least according to Rashi, the purpose is that the haughty person should be brought low by the hyssop. So, ask this Fasem is a very obvious question, which you could ask about a lot of drushas, but he asks it here, so let's go over it now. He says, why is it, according to Rashi, that the Pasuk doesn't simply say, take the hyssop and take the wool, the crimson wool, which is very lowly, take it so that he can humble himself? Meaning, why do we have to speak in such hints? Why do we have to be so elusive of what the true message is? So the truth is, as we've said many times, when it comes to Chassidish Vartlach, the answers are better than the questions. But when it comes to stuff like this, so typically the reason is because Hashem leaves it open-ended so we can make drushas. So we can have open interpretation as to what possible lessons we can learn from the different nuances in the verse, but he doesn't want to pin it into any one specific thing. So the Sfas Emes asks this question, and he answers it in his way. And he says, why is it that Hashem made it so that the psukim aren't explicit as to the purpose of humbling this haughty person? So he says, ki be'emes min hanimna she'adam yeshafel amiti hechleiti. A person should truly be altruistically humble. And says the Sfas Emes, "Velu ha'isa mitzvah mifureshes liosanav." Let's say Hashem said, "You have to be a humble person." Let's say He said that explicitly. Be humble. So what would happen? And you have to sort of put yourself into a Chassidish mode for a second. Hayu mekaymin es ha'mitzvah b'lashem yichud. I would have fulfilled the mitzvah would have fulfilled the mitzvah with the paragraph l'shem yichud beforehand. What does that mean? L'shem yichud. People know what L'shem Yichud is. Maybe from Sfira, people are more familiar with it, because for some reason, the minhag has developed to say L'shem Yichud more than any other time for any other mitzvah. I'm not really sure why. But either way, I'm sure Yerachmiel can tell us all about L'shem Yichud, and other people can tell us all about L'shem Yichud. It's a paragraph which is said before you do a mitzvah, specifically a mitzvah d'oraisa, in order to make sure that you're in the right perspective before you do it. That I'm now about to accomplish this mitzvah. I'm now about to accomplish the mitzvah of shaking lulav. Now about the Kamshul Mitzvah of, there's even the Gra actually I think says that there's a paragraph to say before you do the Mitzvah of Yehavta L'Recha Kamocha, before you daven. Not really sure if we have that or not, or if people do that or not. Sorry, getting a visitor. Come on over. Three in a row. So he says, L'Shem Yichud. So a person, let's say Hashem says, be humble. So what would a person go do? He says, okay, I'm now having the kavana that I'm going to be humble. Says Sfas Emes, that's not real humility. Humility is when you feel it on the inside. You can't feel it on the inside unless you can read it between the lines. Because if Hashem says it explicitly, so you're going to have this whole perspective that I'm doing this because Hashem said so. But you're not going to feel it inside. You're not going to really feel humble. You're only doing it because Hashem said so. There's no greater gaiva than a person who's accomplishing his humility through doing a mitzvah. That is some statement from the Sfas Emes. He feels, oh, look at me, I'm becoming an anav. I'm a shame mitzvahs anivus. I'm now, but look at me, I'm doing the mitzvah of anivus. It's someone who's internally truly humble that can become that can see the message inside these words. But somebody who sees explicitly, you have to become humble. So then they're just going to say, oh, I have a mitzvah to become humble. Now let me do the mitzvah. And says the Sfas Emes, that can lead a person to even greater gaiva, to even greater haughtiness when they think they're accomplishing a mitzvah from this process. So now just a continuation to this, to this process of becoming tahor. So the pasuk tells us after he becomes tahor, and he's able to come back to the camp. Sorry. We have here at the end of that parsha in the Torah, pasuk chaf, v'hela hakohen esa'ola v'yasamincha hamizbecha v'chiper alav hakohen v'taher. So he goes through this whole thing, and there's a whole process with dipping the fingers and putting it on different parts of his body. What's on your face? He's all dirty. So at the end of it, he brings the carbon, and then the last three words of that, last four words of that parsha are, V'chiper alav ha-kohen v'taher. The Kohen shall bring him kapara, bring him atonement, and then he'll become pure. It's a very strange phrase. He's going to become pure now. Presumably he was already pure. The tzaras is gone. He did all the karbanos. He did all the process. What does his last few words mean? V'chiper alav ha-kohen v'taher. That the Kohen shall now bring kapara for him, and he'll become tahor. So says Rabbi Avram Yisachachov. So this I'm not 100% sure. It could be the Avnei Nezer, but it quotes a sefer here, Naos Hadesha. Naos Hadesha might be the brother of the Ishbitzer. Not exactly sure if that's of the Mea Shiloach, who we talk about, Mordechai Yosef Liner. Not 100% sure about that, but I know there is a sefer in Os Hadesha from that Rebbe. We haven't quoted him yet. So he says the following: Im ki kfar nemra bo kapara. If it was true that he already had kapara, shina hakasav v'chiper alav hakohen ki nosav hachato aparati. There's something beyond what he already had kapara for that he still needs kapara for. What could possibly still be needing kapara for the mitzora? He says an unbelievable phrase here, because we oftentimes think very negatively of the mitzora. We don't think about this aspect of it. He says zakuk hu lechapara al shenishlach mechutz lamachne v'huvdal miklal Yisrael. The mitzora, as we know, when he was guiding his saras, had to be sent out of the camp. So he's sitting outside of the camp all by himself, sitting there, trying to think about what he did, introspecting about what he has to still do, and he's outside of the camp. So says Rav Avram Misakachev, you want to read the sefer? You want to do that Fyomi? He's a little jealous. So he says, you know what he still needs kapara for? He needs kapara for the way he had to do kapara. What was the way he had to do kapara? As we know, he had to leave Klal Yisrael. He had to leave everybody. Because the fact that he had to leave everybody else, that itself he needs kapara for. The fact that he thinks it's okay to leave everyone, obviously he had to do it. But he still has to have kapara for the fact that he separated himself from everybody else. This is a very strange concept, and I'm not sure people think what people think about it, but it seems very strange because Hashem's the one that said to do this. So you're saying that Hashem is telling you something that you need kapara for afterwards. So maybe sometimes you do. People who are in Daf Yomi might be familiar with the Gemara earlier on in Maseches Shabbos of the person who did a Tanis Chalom. I don't know if you remember that we had a whole discussion about someone who takes a fast for a bad dream that they had. That is the only fast you're allowed to take on Shabbos. You're allowed to fast on Shabbos for a bad dream that you had. The question is, however, how could you fast on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, yeah, first you fast on Shabbos for the bad dream, and then you fast the next day for the fast that you did on Shabbos. Right? So even though there's an institution of fasting, you have to make up for the thing that you were supposed to do. Right? You have to atone for the problem that you created for yourself. So here too says the Sakachav, or Avram of Sakachav, that in order to properly go through the whole kapara process, you have to, number one, leave the machane and become pure from the fact that you're not going to be, you're not, for all the different reasons, for why you have to separate yourself from people because you're saying Lashon Hara, you have to recognize and appreciate other people. So for all of these reasons, you have to leave the machane. But at the same time, how could you leave the machane? How could you not connect yourself to the rest of Klal Yisrael? So says of the Sakachever, that's why when it comes to the end of the whole process, oh, you're coloring. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay. when it comes to the whole process, you have to also do kapara for the fact that you have to go through that, that you have to separate yourself from the community. So even though we always talk about the Mitzvah as being punished, he's dissociating from people, he has to disconnect. That itself is a problem. And that's why Hashem says he has to be put back, he has to be put back into the community only after he properly atones for separating himself in the first place. Also relevant to something that we'll talk about in a few weeks, the Nazir. We know that the Nazir brings a Chatas. There's Machlokas, Rashi, and the Ramban. Why exactly the Nazir brings a Chatas? And one of the reasons is because he stopped being a Nazir, right? How could you stop being, you're being so holy, and all of a sudden you're going to stop being holy, so he has to bring a Chatas. But the other interpretation is, I think this is the Ramban who says, the reason he has to bring a Chatas is because he refrained from taking part in all the wonderful things God gave him. What do you mean? Hashem says, if you want to be a Nazir, you're allowed to do it. And now he has to bring a Chatas for doing it? Hashem says he can do it. He says, no, even though you're doing something beneficial, there are aspects of those beneficial things that still require atonement. No. And the fact that you're not enjoying, as Rav Hirsch would say, the Swiss Alps that God put in the world, that itself is something you need atonement for. Okay, you're going to have to calm down or else I'm going to just send you upstairs, okay? So that's another idea behind the process of becoming Tahor. One last idea, which is, I think, also very relevant at all times, but specifically when it comes to a time where we have to really think hard about Hashem in the world. Okay, now we're back. So Reb Leibla Eger, who is a grand student of Mordechai Yosef Liner, the Ishmitzer. We talked about this on Tuesday also. We know that when the Jewish people came into to Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem says there's going to be tzaras on the houses. But you should know, Rashi says, Besora hi lahem. It's a good thing. When there's tzaras on the house, you might think that that's a bad thing. But says Rashi, no, it's a good thing. You're inheriting treasure. Because when you see that tzaras, you're going to have to knock down the wall, and then you're going to see the treasure behind it. We talked about the Eish Kodesh Zavard on that, which is so relevant for our days, as he was talking from the Warsaw Ghetto, how you had to wait 7 days in order to find that treasure. Sometimes you don't see the treasure. You have to wait a little bit. But either way, you can listen to that. I said at the beginning of Tuesday afternoon's class also. Rabbi Leibla Eger asks the question. He says, I don't understand. When it comes to tzaras, the Gemara in Erechin tells us all these terrible character traits that bring about tzaras. And all of a sudden, Rashi is telling us that there's a reward for tzaras. It's a good thing. Well, which one is it? Is it bad or is it good? How could it be both? Right? It's a struggle that everybody, you know, all the Mepharshim tried to deal with. So he says Reb Leibla Eger, that sometimes you have an onesh, which is a chesed itself. Ela sheyesh onesh shehu me'ein chesed. There are some punishments that are themselves a chesed. Uchmo shepir shemagmi mezrich. Es acharuz bezmiros leil Shabbos. Mishoch chastachal yodecha kel kanovin okeim. I don't know if people are familiar with zmiros, but that's one of the phrases. He says, bring down Hashem, bring down your chesed to those who know you, God of vengeance. So that's a strange phrase. What do you mean, God of vengeance, bring down your chesed? Which one is it? Are you bringing vengeance or are you bringing chesed? So he says, let me give you a mashal. Amar al pi mashal melech shehalach bederech im misharsel. The king is going on his way with his servants. Pagash osam kfarei echad vihitil al hamelech titvarefesh. A guy comes back and throws dirt onto the king. And all the servants want to punish this guy. How could you do that? Throwing dirt on the king. Lo nasan lo hamelech. Ela amar lahachniso b'chevras anashim chashuv from Rami Mala. Ulelam do chachma v'nimusim. He said instead, send this guy to yeshiva. Send him to a place where they understand what it means to be a good person, where they understand what it means to have manners. Ad ki gadal me'od, until he grows up and he grows in maturity. Ve'az hechnisu lebeis hamelech, then bring him into my palace. L'haroso tiferes gedolas hamelech, so he can truly understand the grandeur of being a king. Uchsheras hamelech, when this person sees... When he sees the king... Yes. When he sees the king... Meitivo v'ish chasto... Mitivo v'ish chasto, when he sees how gracious he is. Hikir shezehu ha'ish sheheliv oso pam alev lo davar. The king will recognize him and notice. The man will recognize that this is the same king that he once insulted on for nothing. He's spyish mode. He's going to become very embarrassed. Uparis bebech, he's going to start crying. He's chared v'itzdar me'od alamasa shemevayesh shasa. He's going to become extremely embarrassed over the act that the behavior he had once upon a time. So says the Magid of Mezerich, also known as the Mezerich Ramagid, also known as Rav Dov Ber of Mezerich. What's his last name? Rav Dov Ber. Oh man, Rav Dov Ber. I forgot his last name. So he says, "Kein anachnu mevakshem Hashem yisparach sheyivtach libenu v'yair einenu lahasig gadlus habore." Hashem should open up our eyes, make us recognize the greatness of Hashem. The az nevosh v'nichlam v'nitzdar yoser mikol ha'on shemegufanim. And once we understand how great God is, then we'll come to the proper embarrassment, the proper shame for everything that we've done wrong. That's what it means. Bring down your kindness to those who know you. God of vengeance. If Hashem, you want to give us retribution somehow, bring us such knowledge of who you are that will be our retribution. That we'll notice how great you are and thereby recognize the things we've done wrong. V'zeh gam kan. Amnam negebatim bo ka'onesh. It's true, Saras is coming as a punishment for the people of Israel who maybe did things wrong. But at the same time, the way that Hashem is punishing us is by recognizing how great He is. Aval onesh al yedei chesed. That's the besura min Hashem yisparach. Says our label Eger, a beautiful vart, that sometimes in order to truly feel how wrong we've been to Hashem, it takes us to recognize how wonderful Hashem is. And only once we recognize how great Hashem is, do we realize that what we've done is so terrible. Because all the meanwhile where we think Hashem maybe he's this, maybe he's that, I can do whatever I want. So then we're not going to really understand how bad we did, or how terrible our behavior was, what mistakes that we've made. It's only once we recognize how great God is that we can truly appreciate how much of a mistake we've been making. And therefore, he says that's what it means, that Hashem gives us saras on our homes in order for us to find a treasure. What's going to happen? We're going to open up the home, and we're going to see there's a treasure behind the wall. We're going to see, oh my gosh, how unbelievable, how much chesed does Hashem give the Jewish people that He gives us treasures. I heard the guy down the street, the same thing happened to him. And the guy a town over, the same thing happened to him. He's giving treasures to all the Jewish people. How unbelievable is Hashem's chesed? Oy vavoy, Hashem is so great, and I've been so negligent in how I've behaved towards Him. And therefore, says Reb Leibel Eger, sometimes an onesh comes in form of a chesed. And that's the greatest way that we can truly appreciate Hashem, because it makes sure that we don't fall further into a pit of shame and of guilt, but rather of recognizing who Hashem is in His greatness and His chesed. So a beautiful vart that I'd never heard before in terms of understanding this presumed contrast of tsaras on a house, but also treasure behind the home, behind the wall. But those are three ideas that we can take out from the Torah. Number one, the idea of the Sfas Emes, that when it comes to the humility, we can't have it be an explicit mitzvah, because even the accomplishment of a mitzvah but might be in gaiva, even if the mitzvah is to be humble, that can bring, you can be haughty in your humility too. And unfortunately, I know I've seen people that have done that too. And we have to be very careful that our humility is very sincere. Secondly, we saw from the Sukkot Shaver, that when it comes to the Metzora coming back to the camp, he still needs Kapara in order to get back because he left. That even his leaving Klal Yisrael requires his Kapara, requires an atonement. And then lastly, we just saw from Reb Leib Le'Eger that sometimes an Onesh can come in the form of a Chesed in order to, for us to recognize and for us to appreciate how great God is and how much better we have to do once we recognize that. So thank you all for joining me. Now I'm going to bring you guys upstairs, and you can join my wife, the Rebbetzin, to do some HaFreshes Challah. Take a tour up to my upper lair here.
I gotta get my wife.
He's finally found the toys. It's supposed to my lap. Now he's coming back to me.